It's Friday, April 5th, 2024. Welcome to episode 97 of the Alameda Postcast, an audio service of the Alameda Post. I'm your host, Scott Peeler, and this edition of the Postcast, a tree branch disrupts power for much of Alameda Thursday. The City Council looks at changing how Alameda is represented and approves a lease for a new police substation. The latest statistics from APD remain mostly consistent. Primary election results are certified. Monday's eclipse will be at least partially visible here in the Bay Area. Congratulations to some local food and drink establishments. And we say goodbye to a beloved Alameda artist and shopkeeper far too soon. These stories and more on this episode of the Alameda Postcast. Our top story, Thursday turned into a rather eventful day here in Alameda. Wind, cold, rain, some hail, and a power outage. Just before 9 a.m., business and residential customers from Bay Farm Island to Sherman Street found themselves without power. The outage also affected traffic lights and even disrupted cellular service. The culprit? A tree branch that fell near the intersection of Broadway and Tilden Way. Alameda Municipal Power crews had power restored to a majority of the affected within 30 minutes, while others waited 75. For a full statement from AMP, as well as links to their outage updates, see Adam Gillett's article at alamedapost.com/news. And make sure you're following our Facebook page. As the outage was unfolding, we were able to provide real-time updates and take comments from readers, providing an accurate, up-to-date picture of that breaking story. At Tuesday's City Council meeting, Mayor Marilyn Ezzy Ashcraft moved to create a subcommittee consisting of Councilmembers Tracy Jensen and Malia Vella to study campaign finance reform and converting Alameda to district elections to improve representation. District elections would involve each council member representing a specific district in Alameda, with the mayor being a citywide representative. Constituents in each district would vote for a council member to represent their district. The subcommittee will study such issues as determining district lines, the number of votes per district, the timeline for implementation, and the required process. Working with the city clerk, the subcommittee will hold public forums for input. A 50% plus one majority of voters would be needed to approve a charter amendment to move to district-based elections. If voters approve the amendment, the city would begin public outreach. The council took the opportunity to revise a regulation on candidate statement fees. Currently, if a candidate wants to print a statement in the voter information guide, they must submit a $100 deposit and agree to pay the balance after election bills are issued. The total cost in 2022 was around $4,000. The council unanimously approved a change to a total of $1,000, keeping the $100 deposit in place, but lowering the later balance to $900. The intent of the change is twofold, both lowering the barrier for people to run for office and streamlining the overall process. Also on Tuesday's agenda, Alameda County Housing Director Michelle Starrett presented an affordable housing bond proposed by the Bay Area Housing Finance Authority under consideration for the November election. If passed by voters, the bond would raise funds to create and protect affordable housing for very low and low-income renters and homeowners. The funding would come from an additional property tax levied at a rate of between $10 and $20 per $100,000 of value. The council also approved a lease for a new police substation. In October of 23, the owner of 2020 Challenger Drive, aka the Research Park at Marina Village, offered to lease 3,179 square feet of office space to the Alameda Police Department for just $100 a month, arguing that APD's presence would deter criminal activity in the area. Currently, APD operates solely from 1555 Oak Street. The plan is to move parts of the Bureau of Support Services, including traffic, community resource, violent crimes, and property crimes to the new space, allowing police officers to meet with community members more easily. APD chose those units because they regularly interact with the public and have a regular Monday to Friday schedule. The monthly combined rent and telecommunication access cost of the new facility is estimated at $1,000. APD will use extra furniture from its administration building and purchase additional supplies using existing grant funding. APD did not request any additional budget to fund the new location. Council unanimously voted to execute a 3-year lease as a pilot. For a full look at Tuesday's council meeting, see Karen Jensen's article at alamedapost.com/news. Staying with APD, they've released their latest crime statistics. Let's take a look at February. Once again, auto thefts stand out, 123 in February. That's up from January's 114, and that's with two fewer days in the month. That's actually an increase of one car every 2 days. Collisions were up to 66, a 6-month high. Robberies jumped from 5 to 10, but that's still below the 6-month high of 16. Catalytic converter thefts remain steady at 5. APD is now using the FBI's National Incident-Based Reporting System, which does allow a closer look at exactly what crimes are being committed. When it comes to thefts, the majority of thefts reported are thefts from motor vehicles, 73, compared to 56 reported shoplifting incidents. It's easy and tempting to focus on the negative numbers, but it always bears mentioning that when it comes to violent crime, Alameda's numbers are enviable. For a closer look at February's numbers, including a link to the full report, see Adam Gillett's article at alamedapost.com/news. On Monday, April 1st, shortly after noon, the Alameda County Registrar of Voters released the certified final results for March's primary election. This was 4 days ahead of deadline. California Secretary of State has until April 12th to certify all state results. Overall voter turnout for Alameda County was 35.17%. In the city of Alameda, the rate was somewhat higher, 44.36, largely due to Measure E, the school funding measure. Otherwise, no real changes from what we've been reporting the past few weeks. The closest statewide contest was for Proposition 1 concerning mental health care and housing. It passed by a margin of 0.4%. For more details and links to election information, see Adam Gillett's article at alamedapost.com/election. Keep that site bookmarked. As the November election approaches, it's your go-to source so you can make an informed decision on your ballot. The East Coast may be getting all the hype when it comes to Monday's eclipse, but that doesn't mean we'll be missing out completely here. We'll get a partial eclipse, around 35% or so, beginning about 10:14 a.m. on Monday. Peak will be at 11:13. It should all be over by 12:16. Even though this is a partial eclipse, it's still a solar eclipse, and you need to protect your eyes to look directly at it, and no, sunglasses will not do the trick. There are plenty of guides online to how to watch safely, or you can enjoy a live stream from multiple sources, including the Exploratorium. Enjoy, but be safe. Some fascinating science being tested on the USS Hornet. Could a spray of salt water into the atmosphere reflect heat from the sun back into space and cool the environment? That's what scientists have wondered for a while now, and a practical test was conducted on the deck of the Hornet this week. The New York Times has an extensive article on that endeavor. You'll find a link to the article in the Weekly Post newsletter. You don't get the newsletter? Head on over to alamedapost.com/newsletter to sign up. Let's talk food and drink for a moment. First up, congratulations to the folks at Saltbreaker. The Mercury News recently did a roundup of the 11 best places for French fries in the Bay Area. And Saltbreaker's crispy shoestring potato fancy fries topped with parsley and Parmesan shavings with garlic made the list. Well done, folks. You know, I like to pass along hidden gems that I find. The latest is some fantastic Italian food. Where? The Alameda Farmers Market. That's right, the Italian Corner from Petaluma has joined the lineup, offering fresh-made pasta and more from locally sourced ingredients using organic dairy and produce. The items come frozen, so no preservatives. You can usually find Chef Oscar at the farmers market, yet another reason why Alameda is a foodie's paradise. Not Alameda, but just across the water in Jack London Square is Buck Wild Brewing. They are a gluten-free brewer, and they just cleaned up at the Brewers Cup of California, taking the top three prizes in the gluten-free category. I've had their beers. They're not just good gluten-free beers. They're good beers that happen to be gluten-free. Congratulations to Buck Wild. A sad note. This past Monday, Maggie Simpson Adams, the owner of Magpie and Thorn on Santa Clara, passed away unexpectedly due to a burst aneurysm that occurred on Sunday. Ms. Adams was also a teacher, artist, and filmmaker. The store will remain closed for the time being. All of us here at Alameda Post offer our sincere condolences to Maggie's friends and family. Don't forget, AUSD spring break is upon us, starting on Monday. School resumes Tuesday the 16th. Be aware of changes in pedestrian traffic around our parks during the day. The A's may be leaving, but the Roots are staying. You can follow the Roots as well as local school sports at our new sports section. Head to alamedapost.com/sports for the latest. No walking history tour this weekend. Get set for our next tour, Utah Construction, South Shore and Bay Farm Island, coming up Saturday the 13th, Sunday the 21st. Details at alamedapost.com/tours. alamedapost.com/events for a guide to what's going on in Alameda. ACLC Drama presents Once Upon a Mattress this weekend at the Alameda Academy Gymnasium, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday matinee at 2. Altarena Playhouse continues their run of the Rodgers and Hart classic Pal Joey. Show runs through April 28th. Gene Kahane liked what he saw. Find his review at alamedapost.com/features. Saturday brings the Little Flippers class to the Pacific Pinball Museum, the Farmers Market from 9 to 1, and the Punk's Parade Craft Fair to Faction Brewing. First Sunday of the month, that means the Alameda Point Antiques Fair. Plan your travel accordingly. More events at alamedapost.com/events. Thank you for your support of local news for Alameda. To give a tax-deductible donation, head to alamedapost.com/memberships. Remember, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, MSN, YouTube, Mastodon, Threads, Blue Sky, as well as our own subreddit. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel on Apple News. Find the Postcast wherever you get your podcasts, or simply tell your smart device to play the Alameda Postcast podcast. I'm Scott Peeler, back next Friday with episode 98 of the Alameda Postcast.